Hello, I'm Helen from Beacon, a reader on the Black Country Talking News. This week's edition is for Wednesday, the 19th of August, 2020.
Welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by Sightless Charity, Beacon Centre. I'm Simon. We are pleased to inform you that our Talking News service is now once again available in CD format. And to those who have received their CD in the post, you'll notice they're in paper envelopes, not the usual plastic wallets, so there's no need to send anything back. Our Talking News service is also available via the following methods. Online, by visiting Beacon's website, www.beaconvision.org/talking-news, as a podcast on the Black Country Radio website, www.blackcountryradio.co.uk/on-air/podcasts. On Spotify and Apple Podcasts, simply search Beacon Black Country Talking News and hit the subscribe button, and on your mobile or tablet device by downloading the free British Wireless for the Blind Talking News application from your App Store. We hope you enjoy this week's edition. Reading this week, it's Christine, Mina, Ian, Helen, Flashback Roger, Angela, Pete, Kez, Talking Book Steve, and of course me, Simon. We have this week local news, a weekly quiz. We look at this week in history with our flashback section. We hear from Queen's Cross Network in Dudley. We have a talking book review, environmental and sustainability ideas for in the bathroom, news from Wolves and West Bromwich Albion, the weather for the weekend and next week, an update from Beacon, plus a music quiz to end. Now, what about last week's music quiz? Have you got the answers, Pete?
The answers are here, Simon. And how did you get on? Well, let's go through them. There are only three questions, and question number one was Volare was a top 10 hit in 1958 for Dean who? Well, the answer was Dean Martin. You knew that, didn't you? Question number two, A Teenager in Love was a top 10 hit in 1959 for Marty who? The answer was Marty Wilde. And question number three, this is the one I think that probably got you this one. Complete the title of Ken Dodd's first hit from 1960. Love is like a what? Well, the answer was violin. Love is like a violin. So that's our little music quiz. We've got another one coming up at the end. So back to you, Simon.
Thanks, Pete. Let's crack on. They're not going to lie, though. They were a little bit before my time, so I didn't do very well on those ones. Local news now with Ian and Angela, but first up, it's Christine.
Health bosses in the region are urging people now more than ever to get flu jabs. The programme has been expanded in case the coronavirus pandemic continues into winter. New figures revealed flu jab rates were below target for those at risk in the Black Country last year. Free flu immunisation is being offered to millions more this year in a bid to ease pressure on healthcare services. But Public Health England figures show just 42.4% of at-risk people in Wolverhampton had the vaccine between September and February, below the target of at least 55%. Around 48.5% in Dudley, classed as clinically at-risk, had the flu jab. And in Staffordshire, it was 44.7%. A free vaccine is offered to people aged 65 or over.
Coronavirus cases in Wolverhampton have dropped only a week after the city saw its biggest spike in cases in 3 months. Figures show cases have dropped from 17.5 cases per 100,000 people down to 11 cases per 100,000 people in the last week. But health chiefs in the city say the virus remains prevalent and have urged people to get tested in a bid to curb the spread. It follows a similar pattern to Sandwell, which saw a spike but has since seen the number of cases drop by 30% compared with the last week.
A £1.7 million funding boost will help New Cross Hospital strengthen its COVID-19 safety measures, health bosses have said. The emergency department at New Cross Hospital is to get a huge new triage centre. The hospital was awarded a cash as part of the $300 million in new funding for health trusts across the country to prepare for the winter rush. Bosses say the money will go towards improving facilities for patients at the A&E department. A one-way triage centre will be created in the current main waiting area, aimed at helping patients to be seen more quickly, as well as strengthening social distancing already in place in the department. The funding will also be used to improve patient flow and reduce the risk of infection by being able to isolate patients.
An old railway bridge over the disused South Staffordshire railway line has been demolished to make way for a metro extension. A new structure will be built later this year at the site in Tipton as construction continues to move forward on the Wensbury to Briley Hill metro extension. Structural specialists are also at work assessing and finalising details for the replacement of existing structures across Sandwell and Dudley. Earlier in the summer, commuters were asked to plan their journeys as the works involved a partial closure of the highway and footpath along Sedgley Road East. Due to these works now being close to completion, the closure is expected to be lifted before the end of the 6 weeks holiday. Once up and running, there will be up to 17 new stops and the new system will also reduce journey times.
West Midlands Mayor Andy Street has been urged to do more to promote walking and cycling in a bid to reduce air pollution across the region. Labour MPs say poor air quality contributes to hundreds of deaths in the West Midlands each year. They want the region to be at the heart of a green revolution and claim many more people would ditch their cars for bikes if there were more cycle lanes available. Mr. Street, who this week unveiled a new 500-mile cycling network for the region, says he is utterly committed to improving cycling in infrastructure. The new cycling route, the Starley Network, is part of plans to link local plans into a region-wide network. Mr. Street said he hopes it will build on a rise in the popularity of cycling during the pandemic.
More local news later, but now let's get our weekly update from Beacon.
Hi everyone, it's Helen from the Beacon Centre here. We hope you're all keeping well. Now, despite it being the height of summer, it's been pretty busy at the charity recently. We thought we'd kick off this week with some details of our Fiver Fortnight. We've designed some fun ways you can support us, all by donating a fiver. The COVID-19 pandemic has hit us hard and we hope that Fiver Fortnight will help raise vital funds so we can continue to support those living with sight loss with services such as the Talking News. And why £5? Well, in our local community, we have around 260,000 people. And if each person was to donate just £5 once, we'd raise £1.3 million, which is enough to keep Beacon running for another year. So, first up is our virtual balloon race. It costs £5 per balloon and the race lasts for a week. You can buy your balloons now, choosing from a huge selection of colours. And the race will set off at midday on Monday the 31st of August. The balloon that travels the furthest will win a goodie box containing treats for all the family. You can even personalise your balloon. To enter, head to this website, balloonrace.com/beacon. Next up is one for animal lovers. Do you think your pet is special? Then why not enter them into the Beacon Pet of the Year competition? It's just £5 per entry and all you have to do is send us a photograph and tell us in less than 500 words why your pet should win. Full details can be found at www.justgiving.com/campaign/beacon-pet-of-the-year. That's www.justgiving.com/campaign/beacon-pet-of-the-year. The winners will get a bottle of wine for the owner and a £10 pet shop voucher courtesy of Sedgley-based Curtis Supplies Limited. If you're looking for a quicker way to donate, you can always donate £5 by texting SAVEBEACON to 70085. Or you could donate £5 to our virtual collection box. Head to www.justgiving.com/campaign/beacon-virtual-collection-box. We're also going to pick one lucky donor at random to win a luxury fruit and veg hamper from our friends at Wombourne-based Taylor Greengraces and Florists. So, let's get together to help a good cause and have some fun along the way. We really hope you enjoy Fiverr Fortnight. In other news at Beacon, as bowling alleys begin to reopen, we wanted to take the opportunity to thank our friends at Tenpin in Dudley and Stoke for all the support they've given to Beacon's bowling teams, as well as share some exciting news with you. We are so pleased to say that we'll be restarting our bowling programme from September, as well as a whole host of sports and social activities such as goalball, plus so much more. Our members really enjoyed bowling, and we were so proud when they won every trophy at the Blind 10-Pin Bowling Championships last year. We can't wait! If you'd like to hear more about our activities, please email inquiries@beaconvision.org. Last but not least this week, we thought we'd give you an update on our amazing member and fundraiser, Leslie, who's been doing her very own knit-a-thon during lockdown. She's had her knitting needles out the past few weeks to raise some vital funds for Beacon by asking people to sponsor her. She's now knitted an incredible 50 scarves. And even better, thanks to your lovely lot, she's raised almost £250. Leslie tells us she's delighted to have raised so much and would like to say thank you to each and every one of you who've sponsored her. She's not done yet though, and we'd love to see even more supporters get behind her as she continues to raise funds for our charity, which is so close to her heart. If you'd like to sponsor Leslie, head to her Just Giving page, www.justgiving.com/fundraising/Leslie's Knitathon. And Leslie is spelt L-E-S-L-E-Y. So that's www.justgiving.com/fundraising/Leslie's Knitathon. That's it for this week. We'll speak to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Yes, well done, Leslie, for all that knitting. Keep on going. I'll tell you something, if that was me, I'd stab myself with a knitting needle more times than I can bear to think about. Anyway, let's get some more local news now. And here's Angela.
Dudley Council is reminding visitors that they are required to wear a face covering when visiting Dudley Council buildings. Anyone visiting Dudley Council Plus, Dudley Council House, registry offices, libraries and reception points in any Dudley Council building must now wear a face covering. In addition to the law already in place on public transport, transport hubs, shops and supermarkets, indoor shopping centres, banks and building societies and post offices. It became law to wear face coverings in a large number of indoor settings in England on Saturday the 8th of August.
Building work is progressing swimmingly at the site of the new Dudley Leisure Centre. Work on the next phases of the £17.4 million facility off Flood Street started at the end of May after initial enabling work continued during the coronavirus lockdown. Construction should have started in April last year, but the project was delayed when planners were ordered to enhance the initial designs, with the new aim to have the facility built ahead of the Commonwealth Games in 2022. The new facility will include a 25-metre swimming pool, teaching pool, four-court sports hall, 100-station gym and fitness suite, exercise studios, soft play area and cafe. Leisure centres in Stourbridge and Halesowen will also be refurbished as part of the Council's multi-million pound plans. Work on the new Dudley Leisure Centre should be complete by the end of 2021. Meanwhile, Coseley Sports Centre has partially reopened after being shut as a result of the coronavirus pandemic. It has reopened for badminton, table tennis and football only, with grass and astro pitches available. The centre will remain closed on Saturdays until further notice. Booking and payment in advance is required.
A third walk-in COVID-19 testing site has opened in Wolverhampton. Mountford Lane Car Park in Bilston will open daily between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. for people with coronavirus symptoms. The new site is part of ongoing plans by Wolverhampton Council to increase the number of people getting tested. It follows the opening of Showell Road off Stafford Road and Whitmore Reans Health Centre as other walking testing sites. Testing is available free of charge to anyone who has symptoms of COVID-19, no matter how mild. These include a fever, a new continuous cough, and loss or change to a person's sense of taste and smell.
A well-used right-hand turning into Wolverhampton city centre has finally been reopened after 2 years of closure. When the right-hand turning down Piper's Row off Bilston Street was closed back in 2018, it meant drivers had to do an often time-consuming loop around St George's Parade and Garrett Street if they wanted to head into the city centre or to the train station. The turning was closed off due to essential work being carried out by Midland Metro Alliance to create a new metro line. But now the turning has reopened, saving drivers time during rush hour. The metro works has been a topic of contention during the last 2 years, as a completion date kept being pushed further back. Bosses originally said it would be finished during summer 2019.
An MP has vowed to clean up a black country town where antisocial behaviour and fly tipping have become rife. Suzanne Webb is preparing to lay out an action plan for Lye, which she says will finally address issues of underinvestment which have blighted the town for years. She is set to meet with bosses at Dudley Council and members of the public to put together a plan to regenerate the High Street and surrounding areas. Lye is one of a number of towns across the borough that will see new CCTV cameras installed by the authority in a bid to clamp down on fly tipping and antisocial behaviour. Residents and traders in Lye have started their own community clean-up operation in a bid to reduce the amount of rubbish piling up in the town's streets. The MP has vowed to prioritise regenerating parts of Stourbridge in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic, with projects in the town centre and Cradley also in the pipeline.
Two more local news roundups coming up a bit later on, but now it's that time of the week again, and it's you, isn't it, Mina?
It is, Simon, with this week's quiz on events that happened on this week in history. Now, as always, you will find the answers with Roger in our flashback section coming up later in this week's Black Country Talking News. Are you ready? Here we go. Question 1. In what year did Elvis Presley die? Question 2. In August 1978, how many days did it take to make the first crossing of the Atlantic Ocean by hot air balloon? Question 3. How many pages did the first mail order catalogue have? Question 4. Who broke the men's 200-metre world record to win gold at the Beijing Olympic Games in 2008? Question 5. Who in 565 BC reported that he'd seen a large animal in a Scottish loch? Question 6. How long was the Mona Lisa absent from the Louvre in 1911? Keep listening for the answers with Roger. If you miss them, we'll go through all the answers at the end of this week's edition. Good luck!
Remember, the answers will be revealed shortly in our flashback section. Let's return to the local news now. And with that, it's Ian.
Motorists are advised to plan ahead, as a major route into Stourbridge town centre is made one way for emergency repairs to be carried out. In recent weeks, Cadent has been working to repair a gas leak on Birmingham Street, Stourbridge. Up until now, they have been able to do the work with one lane operational, allowing traffic to move in both directions. But in order to complete it, Cadent has advised Dudley Council to make Birmingham Street one way, as it carries out further work on either side of the carriageway. They have assured the council that access to frontages will be maintained where safe to do so, and access to the civic amenity site will be maintained at all times. The work will be carried out in two stages. The first is to close the road to eastbound traffic coming out of Stourbridge town centre. The second stage of the work will see the road closed to westbound traffic heading into Stourbridge town centre.
One of Sedgley's biggest annual community events has had to be called off this year due to the ongoing coronavirus crisis. Sedgley Beer Festival is normally held in the first Sedgley Scout Group's Jubilee Hall headquarters in September. The Sedgley Charity Beer Festival team has decided that it's not safe to put on the volunteer run event, which raises funds for the group and local charities this autumn because of the difficulties presented by the virus. They have announced that the 2021 festival will take place on September 24th and 25th.
75 years since their death, a memorial has finally been unveiled to seven airmen who lost their lives when a Lancaster bomber crashed into a farmer's field. The monument was unveiled in a small ceremony off Lichfield Road, Wensfield, where the plane crashed during the last days of the Second World War. The stone has been erected in memory of Flying Officer Victor Meade, Pilot Bernard Hall, Flight Engineer Ronald James O'Donnell, Navigator Reginald Smith, Wireless Operator Gordon Rabbits, and Air Gunners Vincent Southworth and John Sills. An information panel explaining the story of the crash has also been installed. The event, which was held on Saturday to mark VJ Day, was organised by Ray Fellows of Wensfield Historic Society. The precise cause of the crash has never been formally identified, although eyewitnesses report seeing smoke billowing from the plane before it hit the ground. The crash created a 5-foot crater in the ground and the men were buried at the scene, with a local church minister performing a simple funeral ceremony. The men, who were all in their early 20s, were later given memorials at cemeteries in their own hometowns. They were serving with 630 Squadron, operating out of East Kirkby, Lincolnshire, and the crash took place just 9 days after Germany had surrendered and the war in Europe was officially over. The plane was on a routine training flight when it crashed to the ground and killed the crew on board.
The overflow car park at Dudley Port Station is to temporarily close to enable Midland Metro extension works to take place. The car park, built in 2010, is set to close on Monday, August the 24th, and will reopen as an interchange park and ride car park, serving both tram and train services when the new metro route between Wensbury and Briley Hill opens. The main car park at Dudley Port Railway Station will remain open throughout construction for the tramway, which is now well underway across the Sandwell and Dudley areas. The Wensbury to Briley Hill metro extension will boost public transport in the Black Country, providing much needed links to the existing heavy and light rail networks and helping to connect people to education, training and career opportunities further afield in the West Midlands. The extension will also play its part in helping to regenerate the Sandwell, Dudley and Briley Hill areas.
Rachel Hayhoe Flint will be remembered and honoured by the England and Wales Cricket Board by having her name emblazoned on this summer's women's domestic 50 overs competition. Rachel Hayhoe Flint Trophy will be played by the 8 domestic teams beginning on the August Bank Holiday weekend. Baroness Hayhoe Flint, who died in 2017, was affectionately known as our Rachel in her home city of Wolverhampton. Captain England to the first ever Cricket World Cup title in 1973, while off the field, her tireless determination for equality laid the foundations for the opportunities presented to modern-day players. She was also vice president at Wolves, played 22 tests and 23 one-day internationals during a 19-year England career, and is a member of the ICC Hall of Fame. The Women's Cricketer of the Year award was created and named after her in 2017.
Our final local news roundup on the way, plus a catch-up with our local football clubs too. And now sight loss news, and it's something for you in Dudley.
Hello everyone, my name is Paul Astley and I work at Queen's Cross Network. Queen's Cross is a vibrant and busy community-based hub in Wellington Road, Dudley. The hub provides support to people who have a physical and sensory disability and who live in the Dudley Borough. This covers the areas of Central Dudley, Sedgeley, Coesley, Briley Hill, Kings Winford, Wordsley, Stourbridge and Hales Owen. At the current time, the hub at Queen's Cross is closed to attendees and visitors owing to the COVID-19 lockdown situation. However, we are offering a service called the Pleased to Meet You helpline. This is a friendly support helpline aimed at helping people who live in the borough and who may need some support with shopping, medication, access to some other support services such as fall prevention and telecare, or if people are just feeling lonely and isolated and need someone to talk to. They can talk to us, of course. To give you an example of some of the other things we can help with, we have helped people to contact someone who could repair household appliances like washing machines if they break down, or maybe even help to contact a dog walker for pet care. Whatever the request, if we can reasonably help, we will try our very best to do so. If you feel our team of adult social care staff could help you in any way, then you can call the Pleased to Meet You helpline on 01384 812761. That's 01384 812761. Or you can email us at communitysupportserve@dudley.gov.uk. That's communitysupportserve@dudley.gov.uk. There is no E at the end of the word serve. communitysupportserve@dudley.gov.uk. The Pleased to Meet You helpline is open Monday to Friday from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. We would like to hear from you. In fact, you could say we'd be pleased to meet you. If you'd like to know more about services that we offer at Queen's Cross Network, please visit www.dudley.gov.uk and search for Queen's Cross Network. Or you can Google Queen's Cross Network Dudley. Alternatively, if you use Twitter, you can search hashtag Queen's Cross Network, or one word, and learn about the exciting things we offer to people who have a physical and sensory disability at our fantastic centre. You can contact Queen's Cross Network through the Pleased to Meet You helpline or by calling 01384 813460. That's 01384 813460. Thank you for listening. My name's Paul Astley, and from everyone at Queen's Cross Network, I wish you all well and hope that you will stay safe.
Thank you, Paul. Time for our final look at local news now with Christine.
Wolverhampton Registrar Office and City Suite, located at the Civic Centre, has reopened to the public. Ceremonies and civil partnerships that could not take place due to the pandemic will now resume. Bantock House Museum in Wolverhampton has reopened too, under revised hours on Saturday and Sundays only, from 11 a.m. until 5 p.m. Bantock Courtyard Cafe is also open from Monday to Sunday, 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. Last drinks orders will be at 4:30 p.m. Play areas and outdoor gym equipment in Wolverhampton City Parks have also reopened.
Stourbridge's Red House Glass Cone has reopened to visitors after nearly 5 months. The popular attraction welcomed guests back from August the 3rd, with new social distancing measures in place on site. Himley Hall's famous afternoon teas are returning this month too. Diners can enjoy a classic combination of ribbon sandwiches, scones with fruit conserve and cream, pastries and tea in the historic stately home. Social distancing precautions have been put in place to ensure safety, and the capacity will be half what it normally is. Dates are available now for August, September and October, with the first sitting on Wednesday, August the 19th. Prices start from £21 per person.
A new play area has officially opened at the Black Country Park following months of renovation work. The children's play area at Bagger Ridge Country Park was officially opened 2 months after the ageing playground equipment was taken down. The play area was officially opened on Tuesday the 4th of August with a new layout which included a sandpit with swings and slides for younger children. Older children will be able to play on a large climbing frame in the shape of a tower with bridges, nets, zip wires, swings and slides and a carousel. Families using the park have also been reminded about COVID-19 guidelines with a reminder to keep 1 metre distance and use hand sanitizer before and after entering the play area. Additionally, each piece of equipment should be used by only one family at a time and anyone waiting should do so at a safe distance.
The annual Dudley Trail will celebrate its 40th year as organised confirm the event will go ahead this year. The annual walking event, organised by Dudley Council, traditionally takes place in May but was postponed earlier in the year due to the coronavirus pandemic. As government restrictions are easing, the council will now hold the Dudley Trail in association with the Lee Shore Partnership on Sunday, September the 13th. The event will celebrate its 40th anniversary but will be scaled back from previous years. Only two walks will be available, including a 6-mile gentle walk and a more challenging 13-mile walk named the Ruby Route. Anyone can take part, including children. Under 14s need to be accompanied by an adult and dogs must be on leads. All of the routes will be waymarked and a download of the route is available on the Map My Walk app. This year, people must register online beforehand. The 6-mile walk costs £2.50 and the 13-mile walk £3. A small booking fee applies. To ensure walkers can enjoy the day safely, they are asked to follow some instructions on the day, including to start their walk as soon as they have checked in their arrival and to keep a safe distance from other pedestrians while on the trails. This year's trail is also supported by Jessop Brothers. For more information about the event or to sign up, go to https://www.himleyhorlandpark.co.uk/Dudley Trail.
The sex and name of a rare monkey born at Dudley Zoo have been revealed. The youngster, revealed to be a female, is named Nina. Lower Primates senior keeper Jade Reddall said, "Mum, Dad and baby are doing really well." From her surprise outdoor delivery, Evita is proving to be a natural mum and is taking wonderful care of her baby girl, keeping her snuggled close. Dads typically do not help in raising offspring, but Chester is being really attentive towards Evita and Nina, which is great to see, and we've spotted him on camera gently stroking his daughter. Evita, 16, gave birth in front of visitors in the hot midday summer sunshine on July the 31st, and Nina is the zoo's first baby Colombian spider monkey in 4 decades.
Our sports roundup coming up shortly, but now it's time to reveal the quiz answers, and it's a doubleheader this week with Pete. But first up, it's Flashback Roger.
This is our flashback section, where we tell of events that occurred in history during the week 16th to the 23rd of August in years past. And it's in this section that you'll find the answers to the quiz questions that were set earlier. On August the 16th, 1977, the King of Rock and Roll is found unresponsive in his bathroom floor. Elvis Presley's death has been attributed to a possible combination of an enlarged heart and prescription drugs.
On August the 17th, 1978, 3 Americans made the first crossing of the Atlantic Ocean by hot air balloon. Ben Abruzzo, Larry Newman and Max Anderson took 6 days to complete the flight from Maine in the US to France.
August the 18th, 1872, Montgomery Ward issued his first mail order catalogue. It consisted of a single page. It listed 163 items for sale and included a money-back guarantee. Catalogues have certainly grown from there, and there was nothing I liked better than poring for ages over Mother's Case catalogue. The August book was another one. I like looking at that one as well.
August the 20th, 2008, Usain Bolt of Jamaica wraps up the 100 and 200 metres double in style with a new 200 metres world record of 19.3 seconds at the Beijing Olympics. And also on August the 20th in 2016,
British runner Mo Farah wins the men's 5,000 metres at the Rio de Janeiro Olympics.
August the 22nd in 565 BC, according to the Life of St. Columba by St. Adaman, Columba had an encounter with a strange large animal that he saw in Loch Ness, Scotland. It's probably the first mention of Nessie. Unfortunately, though, St. Columba hadn't got his camera with him, so nobody knew whether to believe him or not. August the 22nd, 1911, Leonardo da Vinci's famous painting Mona Lisa was stolen from the Louvre in Paris. It was recovered unharmed 2 years later. That's mine for this week. Enjoy the quiz. Ta-ra a bit. Bye for now. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Roger. A roundup of the answers coming up a bit later on with Mina as usual. News from our local football clubs now, so here's Ian.
Wolves players are on a break until Tuesday the 1st of September as they look to recharge ahead of the new Premier League season. Having travelled back from Germany following their 1-0 Europa League quarter-final loss to Sevilla, they have gone their separate ways for the best part of 3 weeks. They should then have 11 days to prepare for the 2020-21 top flight campaign, which is set to get going on the weekend of Saturday, September the 12th. Their 2019-20 campaign lasted 383 days, playing 59 games and taking in 10 different countries along the way. The full fixture schedule for the new term will be announced no later than Friday, August the 21st. Goalkeeper Will Norris is swapping Wolves for Premier League rivals Burnley. The 27-year-old, signed from Cambridge in 2017, spent the whole of last season on loan at Ipswich in League One, playing 20 times. He made 8 appearances in gold and black and will become the Claret's first signing of the summer. Albion have been boosted by the news they will not face a hectic start upon their return to the top flight of English football. The Premier League has confirmed that just 4 fixtures will be scheduled between the big kick-off on September the 12th and October the 16th, the day the transfer window closes. Slaven Bilic is eager to build his squad for the 2020-21 campaign as early as possible, but Albion believe more value is likely to be found towards the end of the window, meaning some of their new recruits may not arrive until mid-October. With the season more congested due to the coronavirus pandemic, there were fears the Baggies may have to play 6 or 7 games before the transfer window closed. But the Premier League has decided there will be no midweek matches in September or October. That schedule means there is slightly less pressure on Bilic and technical director Luke Dowling as they work to put the final pieces of the jigsaw together as they build Albion's squad. West Brom's latest home kit has been ranked one of the best in the Premier League for the upcoming season. In a list compiled by footy.com, the Baggies home shirt makes the top 3 in the new home kit launches, whilst Villa sit a respectable 5th. Wolves, meanwhile, earn 9th spot in the rankings, with Southampton's stylish number topping the pile. Albion are interested in signing Southampton striker Michael Obafemi, but could face competition from Villa, according to reports. The Baggies are on the hunt for a new striker this summer, who they hope will score the goals to keep them in the Premier League. And Republic of Ireland international Obafemi is believed to be one of the forwards they are interested in signing. The 20-year-old made 25 appearances for the Saints last season. According to reports, he is available for around £10 million. While the Baggies are working hard to strengthen their attacking options, one forward that could leave the club this window is Oliver Burke. The Scotland international hasn't settled at all in the West Midlands since a £15 million move from RB Leipzig in 2017. Burke still has 2 years left on the 5-year deal he signed with Albion in 2017.
Thanks, Ian. Now, we haven't heard from him for a few weeks, so let's say hello to Talking Book Steve.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's audiobook review. This week, I've decided to venture into the world of mystery and thriller and suspense, and I'm going to review a book by well-known author James Patterson. The book is called 18th Abduction, and is narrated by a lady called January Lavoie. and lasts around 7 hours, 52 minutes. So strap in, because you don't know what's lurking round the corner. So Detective Lindsay Boxer fights to protect the streets of San Francisco from an international war criminal in the latest women's murder club thriller. When three female school teachers go missing in San Francisco, it's Detective Lindsay Boxer who must unravel the mystery of their disappearance. But what starts as a missing person case quickly escalates to a troubling murder investigation. Pressure at work mounts. Lindsay must rely on her husband, Joe, to support her at home. Yet Joe is pursuing a mysterious case himself, as a woman running from her past brings him terrifying information. The notorious war criminal from her Eastern European home country has appeared on the streets of San Francisco. As Lindsay searches for the three missing women, a frightening new twist forces her and Joe's investigations to collide. His mystery informant has gone missing, and all four abducted women are now in grave danger. As shocking revelations emerge, Lindsay and Joe find themselves caught up in an international crime operation, unlike anything they've ever seen before. With the help of her fierce and courageous friends in the Women's Murder Club, Lindsay and Joe fight to save their city from the corrupt clutches of a monster. Well, I wonder if that one's piqued your attention, perhaps. I know it did mine, so fingers crossed you get a chance to give it a listen. Do, as always, let us know if you enjoyed it and what you thought. And, of course, if there's any books that you want us to review, let us know and we'll get around to those as soon as we can. Okay, everybody, take care. All the best. Stay safe.
Now, when he said mystery, thriller and suspense, I thought he was talking about this week's quiz. I can't stand the tension no more. With this week's answers, it's Mina.
Thank you, Simon. Let's see how many you got right. Question 1. In what year did Elvis Presley die? The answer here is 1977. Question 2. In August 1978, how many days did it take to make the first crossing of the Atlantic Ocean by hot air balloon? The answer here is 6 days. Question 3. How many pages did the first mail order catalogue have? Just 1. And question 4. Who broke the men's 200-metre world record to win gold at the Beijing Olympic Games in 2008? The answer here is Usain Bolt of Jamaica in 19.3 seconds. He beat it again in 2009, and that record still stands at 19.19 seconds. Question 5. Who in 565 BC reported that he'd seen a large animal in a Scottish loch? The answer here is Saint Columba. And finally, question 6. How long was the Mona Lisa absent from the Louvre in 1911? The answer here is 2 years. Well, I hope you got them all right. I'm back with the weather in a minute. I'll get ready for that now. Back to you, Simon.
Haven't you done that yet? You best hurry up. Environmental and sustainability ideas. Now, with Kez.
Today, I'm going to focus on what we can do to make the bathroom more eco-friendly by talking about my top 3 tips for what you can do. For many, myself included, this room is one of the easiest places to start, as there are so many options available to replace the single-use plastics that are often present in the bathroom. One of the most commonly discussed changes you can make in the bathroom is moving towards using solid shampoo and conditioner bars. There are plenty of options available for both online and in the high street to find a combination that works for your skin and hair type. Like any other product, it can take a few attempts to find that perfect combination for you, but it really is worth persevering, because using bar, shampoo and conditioner not only reduces single-use plastic in the bathroom, but typically, I personally find that both last longer than their bottled equivalents. My personal favourite switch I made for the bathroom is moving to using a bamboo toothbrush and toothpaste tablets. Bamboo toothbrushes are now found in many high street shops as well as online, and can be composted with the exception of the head, which needs to be broken off and thrown out due to the plastic bristles. Toothpaste tablets are brilliant because they reduce the amount of packaging you use, and often come either in a reusable packaging or in something that's compostable. The final bathroom switch that I love is using loofahs instead of a shower puff. Many shower puffs, even today, are made of plastic, so when they're at the end of their life, they need to go into the bin. But also, when they're being used, they can release plastics into the water. Loofah, on the other hand, are a plant, so once they're done, they can be put into the compost to break down naturally. So these are just three examples of changes that we can make around the bathroom to reduce the use of single-use plastics in this room. There's a whole range of other ways that we can improve the eco-credentials of the bathroom, like fitting water-saving devices to the tap, shower and toilet, changing the sort of toilet roll you use. But what's really important to me is remembering that any changes that you make to becoming environmentally sustainable are important, no matter how small they may seem to you.
Thanks, Kez. Now I hope she's ready with the weather. Any more thunderstorms coming up, Mina?
Still some rain about, but no thunderstorms forecast at the moment. The sunrise and sunset times are 6:04 a.m. sunrise and 20:18 p.m. is the sunset. Now, Friday, 21st of August, we have light rain showers and a fresh breeze with a maximum temperature of 21 degrees with medium pollen and UV levels. Saturday, 22nd of August, we have sunny intervals and a moderate breeze with a maximum temperature of 19 degrees and medium UV levels. Moving on to Sunday, 23rd of August, we have sunny intervals and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 19 degrees, medium UV levels again. Monday, 24th of August, again, sunny intervals and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 19 degrees with medium UV levels. Tuesday, 25th of August, looks like light cloud and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 19 degrees and again, medium UV levels. Wednesday, 26th of August, we have light rain and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 19 degrees and again, medium UV levels. And finally, Thursday, 27th of August, we have light rain and a gentle breeze with a maximum temperature of 18 degrees with medium UV levels. Enjoy the weather.
I always do. Thanks, Mina. Now, are you ready to finish with this week's music quiz? It's over to you, Pete.
I'm ready, Simon. Okay. Question number one. What question did Elvis Presley ask on his first number one of 1961? So question one, what question did Elvis Presley ask on his first number one of 1961? So you've got to think of Elvis songs with a question as the title. Okay. Question number two, what kind of land gave the Shadows a number one in March 1962? So what kind of land gave the Shadows a number one in March 1962? And finally, question number three, what kind of holiday was Cliff Richard on according to his number one from 1963? As always, thank you to Andy Coulson for sending in the questions. We've got more coming up next week and we'll give you the answers to this at the start of next week's edition. Simon.
So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talking News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. If you have a sight loss tip or someone you would like to wish a happy birthday to, just say hello to. Maybe even a poem or talking book you would like reviewed, then please get in touch with us at the Beacon Centre. Call 01902 880111. Email bctn@beaconvision.org or write to us at the Black Country Talking News, Beacon, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers who without their support we would be unable to run this free service. Please note the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us. Stay safe, have a good week, and we look forward to bringing you next week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Ta-ra!